It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship you'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that.
Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
What's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Does it feel to you that the Bills play Jacksonville every year?
Yes.
Why is that? They don't.
They played them last year. They played them in London. They played them with Urban Meyer. I don't know. It's been pretty frequent.
Three of the last 4 years. That's correct.
Yeah. So that'll do it.
That's all it takes? Three out of four?
Yeah.
Mike Dempsey is with us from Jacksonville. Mike, does it feel to you that the Jaguars play the Bills every year?
It feels like we play everybody good every year, because look at the record. I think we have played quite a bit in recent seasons. A
couple times in London, including 2 years ago, as Bulldog mentioned.
And the playoff game, but that's going back 8 years. But
that's right. It was my pleasure to listen to you last night. Mike is with Jaguars Today, 1010 XL in Jacksonville, also on Sirius XM with Bob Harris. Football diehards, as my connection to Mike is largely, if not entirely, through fantasy football. And here we go, Mike. I mean, imagine not drafting until late July. Can you?
Me? Personally? Yeah. Hell no. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Now, if I'm playing one league for all the marbles, like if I'm playing a big money league, I want to draft as late as possible. But, man, I want the juice all off season. You're missing out, man. People are like, why are you drafting in March? You don't know where anyone's going to play. Well, neither does anybody else. So, he's got the best instinct.
This is their time to shine, that crowd. Like, Justin Fields gets hurt. And, you know, just goes to show you, why were you drafting already? I mean, he's going to be okay, apparently.
They love that, right? They love that. They absolutely love that, right? Well, maybe somebody else in my league had Justin Fields. I will say, I probably have about 22, I think, drafts ongoing at the moment, which is about typical for this time of year. And yesterday, at one point in the afternoon after the news came out, I found myself, it was my turn to pick, which we call on the clock, of course, in four leagues, and I had Justin Fields in all of them. So I felt really good about myself, but I feel better today.
I enjoy the stories of the people who immediately scoop up Tyrod Taylor just because he, you know, limped to the cart.
Right.
Just in case. Wouldn't be me. All right, Mike. Well,
we had somebody in a superflex do that to us. You know, you start two quarterbacks, but I'll give them credit. It was a 16-team league. They had already drafted Fields. That seemed like a reasonable selection at that time.
Right. How much of a stickler, Mike and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, are you for the language used in the tweets about an injury like that? Because carted off is not exactly what happened to Justin Fields. Carted off implies the cart came onto the field of play because he couldn't be moved and, you know, immobilized and all that sort of stuff. And really this was, the locker room's way over there and we'll drive you more than carted off.
Yeah, carted off indicates you're riding backwards.
Right.
Right? Like, at best, you're sitting on the back of the cart. Perhaps you're laying down on it. Not that you hopped in the front seat. But, I mean, either way, and look, I get it. When you have a lower body injury, you can't tell if it's a non-contact issue or not. People are going to freak out and panic a little bit. And, you know, for all whatever you think about Justin Fields, the Jets have invested $40 million over the next 2 years in hoping that they can squeeze something out of him, you know, with Aaron Glenn hopefully leading a revived defense in New York. If Fields can protect the football, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, he's a very intriguing player. He stuffs the box score because he runs quite a bit. We all know that's the kind of the cheat code in fantasy football.
With Mike Dempsey, Mike, the Jaguars have been a pretty hot team this year in fantasy talk. And, you know, Travis Hunter obviously has a lot to do with that. What an exciting move and draft pick. What are your expectations there, and what do you think of where he's going?
I'm probably not drafting him where he's going right now. Like, I looked at the Fantasy Pros yesterday, I believe, and it might be their consensus expert rankings. It might not have been average draft position, but they had him at wide receiver 32. And that's a little too rich for my blood in a 12-team league, because I think there's going to be some week-in, week-out inconsistency. We don't know. I don't know if they know exactly how much they're going to be able to go all out playing him, you know, 100 snaps or more. But I do think that is their desire. They want to get him up around 100 snaps a game. I think they think he can manage that. Will that all happen this year? Will it all happen on the offensive side? Like if you're in a dynasty league, particularly if you're in one of those leagues, guys, as you well know, that allows for individual defensive player scoring, he's almost like a cheat code, right? And, you know, maybe, and again, it's more of a long-term play there. You know, as a mid wide receiver three in a 12-team league, that is, I don't know. This is a team that wants to run the football a bunch. They have Brian Thomas who's going in the first round, and I think that's justified based on his rookie season, you know, the end of the first round. I honestly think Diami Brown is a much better fantasy dart throw just because you get him basically free. If you're in a 16-round draft, you can wait till your final round, grab him there. He's going to be on the field just about as much, if not as much, as Travis Hunter this year. I think Hunter is a phenomenal story. He's going to be great to watch. He will have his highlight reel days, but I'm just not spending the third wide receiver draft capital that it takes to get him in many redraft leagues.
Yeah, I wonder just how much of the talk that the team is even putting out there about using him both ways is any amount of smoke. I mean, I just, it's been so long since we've had a player that was capable of doing that. And I recognize that he was certainly capable, more than capable. He was great at doing that in college. I just wonder, once you're paying a guy and he shows you value on either side of the ball, like the risk you run in exposing him on the other side of the ball, I just think is, I just think that could get really tricky.
What is he better at, in your opinion?
Man, I respect offense more, I think. Like that is where I think the value is.
I think if you gave him the full year to be nothing but a wide receiver, the full year to be nothing but a defensive back, he'd be a better defensive back than he would a wide receiver. Even though he won the Biletnikoff Award, I think he did. I don't think his route tree was that complex in college. He's got phenomenal hands. I mean, he'll pluck the ball, but he uses those to great effect on both sides. I don't think they gave what they gave to move up just a handful of spots to get him, unless that is fully their intent. I just think this is a new, crazy young regime that's like, look, man, we're not going to look back in 4 years and say, why didn't we do it our way? And they're going to go with their chest out, and they're going to spend two first-rounders and a second to draft Travis Hunter. And I think they're going to give him that opportunity. Now, will it change maybe, you know, in week two when you play against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins? Does he play more 95% on the defensive side and maybe 30% on the offensive side? That's possible. We're in uncharted territory that I don't believe they're blowing smoke. I mean, you'd find out after the first month of the season, what's the point of hyping it up and giving up all those assets? I think they truly want to give him the opportunity to prove the world wrong, or that he can do it.
Yeah, it's the matchup point you just made that I've been thinking about a lot, too. Like, it could be different every week, and in redraft, where you set lineups, that's a headache. You don't know what you're getting, right? Like, if I'm Cincinnati, I heard Mario Puig make this point from RotoWire. Why wouldn't I just try to run him down the field constantly? If he's going to...
What if he's starting... So if he's guarding Jamar Chase,
yeah,
you're just going to run go routes with Jamar Chase all day?
Well, it doesn't have to be Chase, but, you know...
Well, what if that's who he's guarding? You don't get to pick who he guards.
Right.
I just think that is such an oversimplification. Travis Kelce said that. I mean, it's just like, I just roll my eyes at that. You don't know if they're going to be in zone. If you're in zone and he gives somebody up to the safety, who are you running deep? The safety, right? I just think that idea that they're going to outrun a guy who played at a mile-high altitude playing like 120 snaps a game, that you're going to wear him down. I don't believe that. I think that the injury concern, it comes from an acute injury. Does he have too much contact? He's not a big frame. Does he get trucked by Derrick Henry? It's not the conditioning aspect. I think he's going to blow people's minds with the conditioning aspect. You can't talk to a teammate of his. I've been out to every practice that's been open to the media since he got here, and they all rave about this guy never gets tired. You know, his other guys are taking a knee and a break in between periods. He's out there finding the defensive coordinator, taking reps and doing things. I mean, we'll find out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all happy talk now, And maybe it'll be a colossal failure, but it'll be a fun one to watch.
Mike, before we move off of the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence on another new coach. I mean, it'd be wrong to say make or break. I mean, there's a huge investment there financially,
right.
So he's going to get some runway here. But, man, it's got to be, like, time to make that really work, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, Liam Cohen, as the offensive coordinator, had taken Baker Mayfield to the to heights he had never reached. And he had been a good quarterback, but never been what he was last year with 41 touchdowns. I think his career high was 28 before that. I think Trevor's is 25. We're only asking to get him into the 30s, right? I don't need 41 in the first year of Liam Cohen, but absolutely. Look, he's got to show improvement this year, but you're right. This is not make or break. That I mean, they're pot committed to him. And they knew that, Liam Cohen did, when he came to Jacksonville, when he signed that contract. So I think he's got a couple of years, and I do think Liam Cohen, you know, if he can grasp it mentally, if Trevor can grasp everything he's asking of him, the offense has shown to get guys open, and they had tremendous success throwing the ball and running the ball, and that's a big part of it. Are you going to provide him a good ground game? And if you can, and take some pressure off him, I think the weapons are there for Trevor to have the best season he's had so far as a pro.
With Mike Dempsey, the Jaguars' backfield is a good topic, too. One of the better ones, I would say, this offseason. What's your guess as to how they play it with ETN, Tank Bigsby, and now Bashaul Tuten?
Well, I'll put it this way. Every time I'm in a draft and somebody takes ETN in the, say, eighth round, ninth round, I smile,
mm-hmm.
and I sit back, and I try to go back-to-back in, like, the 11th, 12th, and I take them both. I take Bigsby and I take Tuten. And it's kind of a feel thing based on where their ADP is and where they are in the queue. I do think Tuten has the chance to have the Bucky Irving-type impact in the second half of the year. I mean, this guy is – he can do it all. He can run you over, he can make you miss, and he can outrun you. He can do all those things. And look, this team, if they didn't trade up to get Hunter, they would have taken Ashton Jeanty at five. You can't find anyone in Jacksonville that's not convinced of that. Had R.J. Harvey fallen to 70, they would have taken him there. We found that out after the draft. And as soon as he went at 60, they moved back. So they were looking to flip this depth chart a little bit. Tank Bigsby's been operating as the first guy on the field so far in training camp. But Travis Etienne's right behind him. They're kind of operating as co-ones. But, you know, it's not like Brian Thomas is not on the field for that first rep. Bigsby has looked fantastic. I think he's a great value there. But I want equal shares of Bigsby and Tuten because Tuten could take things over. I think the ideal scenario for the Jags is that they feel like the backs they have, which includes Kent Allen, who they got out of Syracuse. You guys should know him pretty well up there, right? He can pass protect. Can they protect the quarterback, and can they catch the football, and can they hang on to the football? If they're confident in the abilities of Bigsby, Tuten, and Allen to handle those jobs, I think ETN is available if a team comes calling for a veteran. They're not going to just cut him because he's on the hook for $5 million-plus guaranteed, but I think that would be the best scenario for everybody for fantasy-wise if his ETN ends up on another team in the next 6 weeks. And let's say he doesn't, and he's on his fifth-year option. I don't think the team's going to commit to him after this year. And you're halfway through the season, and the Jags' record is 2-6, okay? What's your incentive to keep giving the ball to Travis Etienne? Obviously, to try to win games. But I think they want to find out what the young trio has. If I had to bet on one guy today, it's probably Bigsby because I think he'll get an opportunity ahead of Tuten. But I like them both more than I like Etienne.
I'm with you there. Mike Dempsey with us on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. Mike, I think it's a great first round this year. I like drafting in the back, those receivers there, Jeanty, McCaffrey, Achan for running backs. Just seems like picking at 8 or 9, Bowers even in the second round, depending on the format, feels like just ideal to be in the back. Do you agree?
Man, I've got so many drafts under my belt. I love it all, but yes, if you are a believer in building through an alpha wide receiver and maybe a pair of them, that is the spot to be, right? You can get Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. You can get Nico Collins and Amon-Ra St. Brown. You can get, you know, A.J. Brown coming back in the second round. Drake London, guys like that, Ladd McConkey. So, but once you get past about the middle of round two, then those guys are usually off the board. You know, if you believe in Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry and you want to have that balanced start, you can pair one of them with a high-end wide receiver. Yeah, look, 9, 10, 11, 12, that range. But, Mike, I always feel like that's a good range. Like, I love double-tapping players early. But, you know, Puka, another guy, right? And it varies. I've seen Justin Jefferson fall to, like, 8. In some drafts, people are going a little running back heavier this year. Ashton Jeanty, I've seen in the top 5. That's too rich for my blood. So if somebody wants to take that chance and leave me with a pair of potential top 10 wide receivers, got no problem with that.
Mike, we often lead these conversations about Bills as it pertains to fantasy. So let's squeeze in a couple of minutes here before we have to part ways here. What are you doing with skill position players? We know what Josh Allen is, but what about the rest? Because it's hard. You know, everybody eats, makes for maybe some complicated decisions unless your decision is to just ignore all of them.
Well, I think right now James Cook is almost ideally priced, right? I mean, all the touchdowns last year, I think his price has been somewhat depressed because people are concerned because he's unhappy with his contract. But once you show up and start practicing, those guys rarely withhold their services from that point forward. And I know he may be a little bit disgruntled, but sometimes having a guy who's looking to get that big payday is the best thing you can have. He's currently coming off the board as the 14th running back on average at pick 34. So if you've got the last pick, as Mike has said, maybe you go double tap Nico Collins and Malik Neighbor, something like that. So you're taking them at 12 and 13 or thereabouts. And then you come back at the end of round 3 and James Cook is staring you in the face. He's almost like the perfect back to take to me at that range. I think that price is going to climb. So if you can get him, and you guys up there, not going to get him there. At least if you draft anything like we do in Jacksonville, Brian Thomas, you got to jump early for him, right? But if you're in a draft where you can get James Cook at the end of round 3, I think it's almost an automatic pick at this point in time. I think he's going to climb up to the end of round 2, early 3rd round, put it in that range. So I think right now he's fairly priced and may actually turn out to be a value. That's presuming, you know, he's on track to open up the season and healthy and all that stuff.
Interesting. You could even pick Allen with him there because that's where he goes, like 3-4 turns.
Absolutely do that, right? Yep. And just especially if you're playing in the best ball league and say, I get the Buffalo Bills touchdowns, right? Or I get the majority of them. You come back with Ray Davis really late. In a scenario like that, and for your audience, probably, you know, you guys are savvy. They probably know what best ball leagues are, but basically you get the best scoring players every week. So if your backup running back happens to steal a couple of touchdowns, you got a chance to have that guy in the lineup. So, yeah, you can absolutely – that is kind of the range where Josh Allen goes in a lot of drafts. I'm not usually going to make that move, but I wouldn't doubt I've got at least one team with the pair of them on it this year.
They only ran for 28 last year, the two of them.
That's all.
Anything on the receiving core or even Kincaid, Mike?
Brother, let me tell you what. The most rostered player I have in fantasy this year by a wide margin is Joshua Palmer. All right.
Wow.
Now you tell me. Maybe that's a bad move, right? But I look at Keon Coleman. Okay, you know, early returns, mixed bag, and obviously they invested in. There's room for growth. I feel like Khalil Shakir's not a big touchdown scorer. He's a nice, steady guy. If you want him as your fourth wide receiver, because you're going to get some points every week. But again, I'm drafting mostly best ball leagues right now. And I try to follow the money. And he got a not insignificant investment there. You guys tell me. I feel like Palmer is as good a bet to catch a jump ball touchdown or a red zone touchdown as anybody there in any given week. So I've got just tons of shares of him because the price is right, too. I'm not drafting him in round 8. I'm drafting him in, like, round 16. Yep. And if you can get him there, I don't see why you wouldn't be interested.
I'm not clear on, like, snap shares with these guys. I mean, Mac Hollins played a lot, ended up leading them in touchdown catches last year. Maybe Palmer has...
With five, by the way.
Right. Maybe Palmer has the space to do it. Handshake emoji as we wrap here, Mike, because my most owned player is Tootin. So...
How about that?
Yeah. I'm at 40% on Underdog. It's a little bit of an unsettling number, but it's...
Wow, that is big. I got to look out because you and I have probably been in a few drafts together. I got to be on the lookout for you, brother.
Not the guy drafting ETN where you're sipping your coffee when it happens.
No, that wouldn't be me. I'm grinning if you are, though, man. If you want to make me happy, early birthday present, hit me up.
Sad to say it's not me. Okay, thanks for your time, Mike. We'll talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Mike Dempsey out of Jacksonville on Twitter. If you want to call it that, at MD_1010XL. He always has more drafts in than me.
I didn't know that was possible.
When I'm ever self-conscious about my massive portfolio, I'm like, look, I know a guy who's got probably double. Mm. Although it didn't sound like double. I told you yesterday, what did I say? I was around 200.
I think you got somewhere between 2 and 3, I think, is where you ended up. I think when you were counting it up.
Yeah.
All right. A comparison popped into my head that I don't want to make.
Okay. I don't think I need to hear it. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, WGR.
Ed Oliver is a good player. Daquan Jones is a good player. They added Larry Ogunjobi. They did work. They said, look, we need to do work on this part of the team. Let's do work. It also will help pass the defensive line if Milano can actually stay healthy for a whole year, because he's very good if he can stay healthy. You hope that Bosa is a big improvement. Obviously, they want the defense to be better and less dependent on turnovers. And if the turnovers come, then that's it.
Aaron Schatz. He'll be on with us next week. That's from a podcast he did with Mina Kimes at ESPN. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. I have been spending most of the last few minutes since chatting with Mike Dempsey pondering his highest-owned player in fantasy being Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. Very often when we talk, we are on different pages when it comes to guys. And we're not, in terms of the Jaguars. I like drafting Hunter because I think the upside is tremendous, and it's the middle of the fifth round. Zay Flowers goes around there, and that's maybe as good or better. But when you don't have to set lineups and you can consider the possibility that Travis Hunter shows up in the league and goes 5 for 130 and 2, you know, every once a month or something like that, that's very valuable. But maybe that's somewhat like what might be possible for Palmer, where he's not catching 6 balls a week. He's not Diggs. But, I mean, far from that. But maybe he gives you big
plays. A smash
plays.
Week here or there, yeah.
But, you know, Sal talked about Palmer today, right? He was on today talking about him and how he's not exactly a burner. He gets open. What Palmer does best is get open. But he's not really ever had a huge workload, and he's been in the league for 4 years, I think. I think a lot will have to not. I don't want to put it that way. A lot will have to go right. I don't know if the Bills want to sort of feed anybody.
Right. I wonder if the door is open for someone to walk through it at all. Right. I mean, it stands to reason that if someone elevates Palmer, Coleman, Samuel, whatever, pick one of those guys. Like Shakir is going to get whatever I think you can probably bank on whatever his numbers were last year.
Yep.
Right. I mean, I just think that's 76 catches, only 4 touchdowns,
850 yards,
821 yards. I've got. So you know that he's going to get the ball. He's going to get targets. But is there somebody else there? Because, I mean, there certainly was room in this offense when Beasley was catching more than that even. But that might be, like, the average Beasley season while he was here. I think he had 100 catches 1 year. But, you know, mostly it's probably around that, your slot receiver. And there was room for Diggs to go over 100. So there's room for someone. But do they want that? It always has made sense to me that if somebody develops trust, chemistry, you know, kind of like Shakir, I think there's a reason that Allen likes to go to Shakir. He catches everything near him. So if somebody can start to show that they can do that, then maybe Allen will, you know, I don't want to say skip through the progressions to get to that guy, but, you know, Mike just prioritize, and that's how you start emerging as a number one wideout, is if you're getting fed like that because you've earned it. And there should be room, even with everybody eats. Just because it didn't happen last year, maybe that's because Coleman was only a rookie and pretty raw and got hurt, and nobody else really was that. Samuel was injured. Maybe somebody can demonstrate that they deserve that attention. And Palmer, I guess, is as good a dart throw as anyone, even though he hasn't, because none of these guys have ever been that guy in an offense, right? Samuel's career high season is around what Shakir did last year, I think, if I remember correctly. I'm not looking at his career right now, but I feel like there's maybe a year in there where he did that, was healthy, and caught, you know, 70-some passes. So I just wonder if there's the opportunity should still be there, despite Joe Brady wearing the Everybody Eats hat yesterday.
What was Shakir? 70?
76 catches, 821 yards, four touchdowns.
Samuel in 2020, 77, 851, and three.
Wow.
Almost identical.
All right.
And 41 rushes.
Ooh.
Shakir doesn't give you that, but Samuel could do some of that here.
Boy, he didn't do hardly any of that. He had five carries last year, Samuel. That's probably the injury. I doubt it's like philosophical, like they didn't want to use him that way. I think it was probably that he was hampered.
Maybe both, because they didn't need it. You put seven men in the box against the Bills, they're going to run it. Cook is going to run it. Allen's going to run it. And if it's eight, they're going to pass. And they just never needed to, quote, get cute. You know, like finding ways to move the ball on the ground was not a problem for that team. So maybe this year they'll need it. Maybe this year, otherwise, he's just healthy and they want a different wrinkle, a different look. I mean, every team is always trying to find that. So I'm spooked by my paltry ownership of Bills, if you'll allow the word ownership, in Bills fantasy. 1.9% is my number on Palmer, which is like almost never.
Right. That's what that sounds like.
And, you know, if you drafted, just auto-drafted, right? Just you signed up for 100 leagues and never made any of your own picks, just auto-drafted. In theory, you'd end up with 8.3% of everybody. You would get everybody equally. Using just one set of rankings, you know, I'm going to have 8.3%. So that's like par. If you're drafting somebody at 20%, you're into them.
Or 40.
Or 41. 41 now I'm up to on to 41.7. That is a scary number for a guy who might not even start for Jackson, a rookie who was drafted on the Saturday. I've lost my mind. But Palmer is the, and like, my highest owned Bill appears to be Shakir at 5%. I can find my way to him without Allen, because there is a floor with Shakir, like we're saying, like you're saying.
Right.
I think that that's good to have. If I'm drafting Hunter and Xavier Worthy types, right, like there's the big game possible, but also duds, whoever else might qualify for that, then you want a guy like Shakir, you know?
Yep, that makes sense.
For security. Well, we'll get to work on this. I don't know. It's still only July, right? I still have a little bit of time.
You do, yeah.
When are we picking week one? Not today?
I think I'm going to go ahead and wait until
week one.
Friday the what is the date?
I don't know. I don't know the date. Wait a minute. The 5th of September.
Right. Friday the 5th. Thank you.
That's when you want to do it? At the usual time?
Friday? I think so. Yeah. You want to do it now?
No, I don't need to do it now. but I did want to bring up one game. Well, I was looking at the lines today for week one. The Bills are pretty firm as the 1.5-point favorite they've been over Baltimore. That's been, I mean, why would it be changing? But that's been there since the whole time. The line has not moved toward the Ravens or the Bills. Like, very, a favorite, but by less than three. Maybe we'll end up there. Who knows? Week one, Cleveland at Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 5.5. What's your inclination?
My inclination is that I Honestly, my first reaction is I would bet the Bengals if they were minus 7.5.
The game's in Cleveland, sorry.
Okay. Don't care.
They're fairly close to each other.
Right, yeah.
Cleveland and Cincinnati.
The stadiums are pretty similar looking.
We're closer to Cleveland, though, than Cincinnati is.
That's right, because Cincinnati's about 8 hours, and Cleveland's only 3, so they're like 5, I think, from there.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
All right, so you would
take probably not 8 anymore. It was 8 when I was a kid, and my dad was driving a station wagon with paneling on the sides of it. You can probably get to Cincinnati in less than 8 hours.
It's so funny. That was also our drive every summer, Xenia, Ohio, not quite to Cincinnati, and maybe every other year we'd go in, but
yep,
not every year. See the Reds. All right, you're going to give the 5.5 at this point.
I think so. Yeah, I'm inclined to go ahead and
not trying to rush you.
No, it's fine.
You don't want to pick these games.
I don't feel like this is binding. But yeah, my initial
binding
thought. Yeah, this is not pick one.
Not binding at all. I feel like I want to say the games in Cincinnati. I've made that mistake before, because they just opened in Cleveland a couple of years ago when Burrow was hurt, and they had, what did they have, like 6 first downs in the game or something awful, the Bengals. So I just kind of have thought that they would flip it. But no, the game is also in Cleveland.
You know, everybody says it, right? I mean, it's not just last year, but last year it was maybe more pronounced. They're a notoriously slow starting team. So, you know, 5.5 on the road might seem like a lot, but I guess I'm pretty bullish on the Bengals.
And with that, Zach Taylor said that Burrow will play more, get more work in, and you know, before the season than ever. I don't know if that means the preseason per se. It probably does. But he was, you know, responding to that. They're trying something different, it sounds like, this year because of these slow starts you reference. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR.